Perek Kof Yud Tet, chapter 119 of the book of Tehillim. This is the longest chapter in the entire Tanakh, comprised of 176 verses divided into 22 stanzas. Each stanza begins with the same letter and contains a word describing the Torah or the mitzvot. In the Masoretic literature, this chapter is called the Alpha Beta Rabati, the Great Alphabet, or Tamnia Ape Ba'alphabet, the eight facets of the alphabet. Interestingly, the chapter divisions of Sefer Tehillim date back to the time of Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly, at the beginning of the Second Temple era, unlike chapter divisions in the other books, which were devised by a non-Jew, Stephen Langton, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury in the early 13th century. The Keter Aram Tzova tells us, Kol Aleph Beta Rabba, it bechol pasuk amira v'dibur v'derech v'edut u'mishpat u'pikud v'tzivui v'torah v'chukim v'emuna. In the entire chapter of chapter 119, in every single pasuk, we find a word which describes the Torah, and it listed those 10 different words, remez la'aseret hadibrot, to allude to the 10 commandments, bar min pasuk chad, except for one verse, arov abdecha letov, Pasuk 122, which begins with the letter Ayin, which does not have an allusion to the Torah. And then it says, Bilama, and then the manuscript stops. We know that the manuscript was partially destroyed. So we don't know what the reason that the Keter gives for that Pasuk not having a word describing the Torah. However, there are some people that say that the word Tov, good, Arov Abdecha Letov, refers to the Torah. There are different counts among different commentaries about how many words there are to describe the Torah. And the Malbim actually relates it back to chapter 119, which describes the Torah as well. And if you're interested, I would refer you to go look at those psukim as well and see how they connect. However, we do know that in every single stanza, we will find words which refer to the Torah, and I will try to point them out as we go along. Okay, the first section, psukim 1 through 8, which are the letter Aleph, the general theme is the Torah is the honest path, and fortunate are those who uphold it and follow in its ways. Asherei timimei derech ha'olchim b'torat Hashem. Happy are those who, how good it is for those who take the wholehearted, pure path, who act with integrity and truth without deceit or falsehood. And what is that path? Ha'olchim b'torat Hashem, to follow the Torah of Hashem. The second half of the verse is really explaining the first. What is the derech? To walk in the Torah. And this really evokes Avraham Avinu, to whom God said, Hitalech lifanai, walk before me, v'heyei tamim, and be wholehearted. The second verse, Ashrei notzrei edotav, b'chol lev idreshuhu. Fortunate are those who keep Hashem mitzvot and his warnings and admonishments. Their good fortune is that when they search for Hashem, they are able to connect to Him. Their search is ultimately rewarded. And this really evokes something way back in Perek Chaf Dalet, chapter 24. Mi ya'aleh bahar Hashem, who can rise up to the mountain of God? Niki kapayim ubar levav, one whose hands are clean and who has a clear heart. On the other hand, another praise of the people who follow the way of Hashem is Pasukimel. Af lo pa'alu avala. They do no unrighteousness. Bidrachav yahalechu alachu. They go, they walk in his ways. Now there's something interesting to note here. In Pasuk 1, in Pasuk Aleph, the verb is in the present tense. Haholchim, those who walk. In Pasuk 2, the second verse, it's Bechol Lev Yidrishuhu. They will search for him in the future. And finally, in Pasuk 3, we have Bidrachav Halachu, they went in his path. So we have present, future, and past, implying that this is a constant behavior of the Tamimei Derech. In Pasuk Dalet, the psalmist turns to Hashem directly in the second person, and he says, Ata Tzivita Pikudecha, you commanded these commandments. Why? Lishmor Ma'od, so that people will be careful to fulfill them. You've commanded them to be careful. The reason we observe the mitzvot is not for the reward, but rather because God Himself commanded them to us. And then he goes on with a wish. Achali, I wish, halevai, yikonu drachai, that my paths will be established in a way that will allow me lishmor chukecha, to fulfill your commands. He's asking that this behavior not become temporary, but rather that it becomes a habitual behavior. After this general statement, the Mishoreh will go on to the specifics, and he will explain that first he will look at the mitzvot, be aware of them in verse 6, then he will study them in verse 7, and then he will fulfill them in verse 8. So verse 6, why does he request that he be allowed to become a habitual observer of Torah, habitual fulfiller of the mitzvot? As lo evosh, then I will not be embarrassed. B'habiti al kol mitzvotecha, when I study your mitzvot, I will be able to fulfill the mitzvot. I will know what to do, and I will not be embarrassed. Ezra Sofer, at the beginning of the Second Temple era, says that in his beautiful vidui in chapter 9 of Ezra, where he says, "Boshti v'nichlamti l'harim elokai panai elecha." God, I am embarrassed to lift my face to you. Ki avonoteinu rabu l'mal harosh, because we've sinned so much. When somebody sins, they cannot look God directly in the eye. However, I, on Pasuk Zayin, Odcha biyosher levav, I will be able to praise you with a straight heart, without duplicity, without exaggeration. When? Bilomdi mishpatei tzidkecha, when I learn your mitzvot and realize that those are just. And this is really very evocative of Sefer Devarim, where Hashem says, Umi goy gadol ashelo chukim umishpatim tzadikim. Who is this great nation which has these commandments and righteous mitzvot? And then he goes on to say, Et chukecha eshmor, I will try to keep your mitzvot. Al ta'azveni ad ma'od, please don't leave me alone. So moving from learning in verse 7 to action in verse 8 is really reminds us of what Chazal say, Hamidrash hamevi lema'aseh, learning which brings to deed. And this really echoes what we say daily in the Birkat Kriyat Shema. L'mod ul'lamed lishmor v'la'asot ul'kayem. We want to learn not just as an abstract intellectual exercise, but rather so that we can fulfill the Torah. So because we want to keep Hashem's mitzvot, we beg that Hashem does not abandon us and rather stays close. And that word ma'od in verse 8 is evocative and echoes verse number 4, where the ma'od is used there as well. So in verse 4, we're told Hashem commanded us the precepts so that we should keep them very faithfully. And here we ask God to stick to us very faithfully. And this really is a reciprocal relationship, like ani lidodi vidodi li. I will do for you, Hashem, and you will do for me as well. Notice that the first two verses in this little section begin with the word Ashrei. The first Ashrei describes the action, somebody who goes in the path of Hashem. The second Ashrei describes somebody who thinks in the path of Hashem. So we have all the aspects of human endeavor covered in there. The next section, verses 9 through 16, begin with the letter Bet. B'mei yizkeh na'ar et orcho lishmor kidvarecha. How can a child, how can a youth who's establishing a path in his life ensure that it will be pure and straight? How can he do that? By following God's ways. Notice that the previous section ended with the word shamar, and here to observe, and here the section begins with the word shamar. And then he turns once again to God in the second person. B'chol libi drashticha, I have searched for you with all my heart. Everybody should be doing that. Therefore, don't allow me to violate your mitzvot even by accident. Don't allow me to misunderstand what you want, which would lead me to inadvertent sin. And then he says, Bilibi tzafanti imratecha, I have hidden in my heart, like a precious object, your words, leman lo echta'od, so that I won't sin. Once I found your words, I treasure them and preserve them in the most important place in my heart. And then he continues to say, Baruch atah Hashem, you are praised, O God, lamdeni chukecha, teach me your mitzvot. This baruch means that Hashem is the source of blessing for everybody. And in fact, this verse has a halachic status as well. If somebody begins to make a bracha, a blessing, and is not sure how to conclude it, rather than just saying God's name in vain, he completes it by saying, Lamdeni chukecha, so that he's quoted an entire pasuk. Pasuk 13, Bisvatai siparti, with my lips I told, kol mishpatei picha, all the mitzvot that you commanded with your mouth. So here I repeat what I have learned. Here now I add speech into the equation, not just thought and deed, but speech as well. I add the learning aspect of it. And it's interesting that this verse has the parallel. It has God's mouth in here, as well as the human person's mouth. B'derech edotecha sasti, I have rejoiced in the ways of your testimonies. Ke'al kol hon, as if a person who went on a business trip and made an enormous profit. Now this derech could either mean a person's habitual behavior, walking in God's ways, or somebody who wanders to learn Torah like a businessman looking, searching to find the best merchandise. And this verse completes the triad of thought, speech, and deed by describing the person as a walking person. So he's thinking about God, he's speaking about God, and he's acting in the ways of God. Okay, bifkudecha asicha, I will speak and contemplate your mitzvot. The word sicha is used for thoughtful, emotionally driven speech. And then, not only that, the abita or chotecha, I will look at the paths you have set upon me. Picture a person going joyfully from place to place, thinking about his destination and checking the landmarks on the way. Reminds me of a person sitting in the airplane and watching the screen that shows the flight path. Oh, we're over Spain. We're over Turkey. We're almost in Israel. I'm so happy to be going there. Verse 16, B'chukecha eshtasheya, I will delight myself, I will occupy myself with your mitzvot, lo eshkach barecha, I won't get distracted, I won't forget your words. Since I delight in them, I can't possibly forget them. So in the previous section, the Mishorer talked about observing mitzvot and asked to be led in the correct path. Here he speaks about learning Torah and asks to be taught what the Torah is about. And that's almost a parallel to Na'aseh v'nishma. First we will do, and then we will find the rationale. Okay, moving on to the next section, to Psukim 17 to 24, the letter Gimel. The person who cleaves to the path of Hashem, despite the ridicule of those who choose a different way, will find in it guidance for every aspect of his life. The Mishorer moves from describing the joy of mitzvah observance and Torah learning to the potential pitfalls and trials that set upon him by those who don't subscribe to the same values. So first he asks, Gimol al abdecha echye, grant me good things and thus I will be able to live. And then, v'eshmerat divrecha, so that I may keep your word. The reason I want to live is to be able to fulfill the mitzvot. Ve'eshmira is an unusual use of the future tense, and it implies a continual, extended future tense. Notice that the Mishorer describes himself as a servant. A servant is responsible to fulfill his master's wishes at all times, and that's how he sees himself in relationship to Hashem. He then asks for obstructions to be removed. Gal einai v'abita, remove obstruction from my line of sight so that I can see. And then what will I be able to see? Nifla'ot mitoratecha, so that I can survey the wonders of your Torah. Nifla'ot can also mean things that are difficult to comprehend. Mitzvot that are hard to understand why we have those mitzvot. So the Mishorer asks for life, first to be able to fulfill the mitzvot in verse 17, and now he asks for understanding and discernment so that he can fulfill them properly. And then he says, while I am in existence on this earth, ger anochi ba'aretz, I am like a stranger who has come from far away. I don't belong here. I don't know the local laws. I need to rely on somebody else for protection, meaning Borei Olam, Hashem. So he beseeches, al taster mimeni mitzvotecha, don't conceal from me what's the right thing to do. We all know that experience of going someplace and not knowing the standard of behavior. So he says, I realize that I'm only a temporary resident on this earth. I rely on you, Hashem, to tell me how to behave in the proper way. And then he says, Garsa nafshi l'ta'ava, my soul is ground up into little pieces because of my intense, constant yearning for your mitzvot. Or the word garsa could be related to the word girsa, to learn, and which means that I constantly learn out of my desire. El mishpatecha b'chol et, I desire your mishpatim, your righteous laws all the time. Verse 21, ga'arta, okay, you reprimanded zedim arurim, the evildoers, and you've cursed them, the ones who persist in the errors of their ways. Hashogim mimitzvotecha, those who continue to sin and don't want to learn, you, Hashem, have cursed. And then he once again uses the word gal in verse 22. And says, Gal me'elai charpa baboz, remove from me embarrassment and shame that my enemies heap upon me when I keep mitzvot. Ki edotecha natzarti, because I preserve your mitzvot. The Mishoreh takes pride in his observance. And this really evokes the beginning of the book of Yehoshua, where after the people have done the Brit Milah, Hashem says to Yehoshua, Hayom galoti et charpat mitzrayim me'aleichem. Today I have removed from you the shame of Egypt. Now you're a nation with pride. You've stamped yourself with Brit Milah as a symbol of belonging. You are no longer embarrassed. Gam yashvu sarim ki nidbaru. When the rulers sit together and discuss me, Abdecha ayni, I, yasiach b'chukecha, I'm not listening to what they're saying. I am your servant, not theirs, and I discuss and I contemplate your mitzvot. Pasuk chafdalad, the last of this section, Gam edotecha sha'ashu'ai. Your precepts are my delight. Anshei atzati, those are my advisors. They are my advisors, not human beings. Moving on to the section that begins with the letter of Dalet, verses 25 to 32, the Mishorer tells us that despite the trials and tribulations that a person encounters when he chooses the path of Torah, he still remains steadfast. He describes the obstacles in his way and the utter discouragement that sometimes a person feels, but then he describes the choice that that person makes. Notice that here, as well as in the previous section, there was a lot of description about life and similar expressions. Pasuk 25. Dafka la'afar nafshi. I'm so degraded that it's as if I'm attached to the earth. Chayeni kidvarecha. Please revive me as you have promised. We know Hashem describes himself in Sefer Devarim as Ani amit va'achayeh. I am the one who kills and who grants life again. Dachi safarti. I've been accustomed to tell you my paths, my behaviors, my deeds. Okay? V'ta'aneni. And you responded and answered me and directed me. And this is really an allusion to the mitzvah of vidui. I tell you what I did and you explain to me, Hashem explained to me what to do, what I did wrong. Lamdeni chukecha. Please continue this connection and teach me more of your mitzvot. Derech pikudecha havineni. Grant me wisdom and understanding in my heart so that I can go in the paths of your commandments. Okay, v'asicha b'nifloatecha, and allow me, please, to continue to contemplate and speak of your wonderful mitzvot. This is an echo of verse 18. Then he describes absolute dissolving of himself. Pasuk chafchet, dalfa nafshi mituga. My body is dissolving and dripping away from sadness. Even though I have that, I still rely on you. Kaimeni kidvarecha. I rely on you that you will not let me fall, as you have promised in the Torah. Hashem says, Lo yarpecha v'lo yashchitecha. I will not abandon you. I will not destroy you. And this is an echo, really, of verse 25 as well. Verse 29, Derech sheker haser mimeni. Remove from before my eyes the false path. Don't give me those options. V'toratcha chaneni, and grant me graciously the Torah. Please give me the clarity of vision and discernment of choice so that I'm not swayed or seduced by those who don't observe the Torah. Pasuk 30, Derech emunah bacharti. I have chosen to go on the true path. In the language of Tanakh, emunah does not mean belief, it means truthful. So I've chosen to go on the truthful path, and therefore, mishpatecha shiviti, I keep your mitzvot before me at all times. I use that as my guidepost for the path that I should be going. Davakti be'edotecha. I cleave loyally to your mitzvot. Therefore, Hashem, al tivaisheni, please don't bring me to shame. Allow me to be proud of this. And this really evokes the davak of the first verse, where he was cleaving to the dirt, and now he is cleaving to the mitzvot. And that word can only remind us of atem hadvekim b'Hashem elokechem. You cleave to Hashem. Davak is somebody who reunites with something that is organically part of his, as it says by Adam, that al ken yazov Adam et aviv imo v'davak b'ishto. The woman was part of him originally, and now he is reunited with her. And finally, we will conclude this section with Derech mitzvotecha arutz. I will run after your mitzvot. The midah of zrizut, of alacrity, ki tarchiv libi, if you'll enlarge my life, if you will strengthen me and grant me life and courage to go against the tide. I once heard a rabbi say that to live a life of Kiddush Hashem is much harder than to die a death of Kiddush Hashem. Wishing you all a wonderful day.